Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, we do have our guest on the line. Pastor Johannes Maluleke is going to be joining us. In fact, he's already on the line. Good afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon, sir. And how are you today?
Very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
I am well.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We continue with our subject that we started yesterday. I must again appreciate the time that you are giving to us this week. Now, the boundary between the religious and the secular spheres of life is contested in many parts of the world. You know, from the latter decades of the 20th century, controversies over issues such as legalization of same-sex marriage, assisted dying, freedom of speech, as well as clashes around reproductive rights and equality issues have all featured highly on national and political agendas. Now, these can be controversial subjects, especially for Christians. Now, today we want to focus on secularism and its impact on modern society. Pastor, I know that you know this subject very well on secularism. I think you and I have spoken, I think, both in on this platform and also privately about it. But let's go through it again. What is secularism?
There are several definitions of what secularism is, but it's basically a principle of seeking to conduct human affairs based on naturalistic considerations uninvolved with religion. It involves the separation of religion from civil affairs and the state. So as a philosophy, secularism seeks to interpret life based on principles derived from the material world without recourse to religion. But it's important that I also say that secularism isn't necessarily opposed or antithetical to religion, but it may actually be compatible with it. Some of the things associated with secularism could be actually be freedom of religion, liberty of conscience, because secularism is usually practiced within what we call republican states, or republicanism, which simply means a government without a king. So mostly in democracies, you will also find that there is secularism. Protestantism, which is a church without a pope, also thrives in secular states. So the secularism, we can also say, because it separates religion from civil affairs and the state, it is different in different countries where it's practiced. For example, in China, secularism leads to antagonism against religion. So there is an active opposition that doesn't allow, for example, freedom of religion, Christians congregating or gathering together. In some countries, it's not necessarily antagonistic, it's indifferent. The government simply does not entertain or delve into religious matters. In the South African context, secularism gives all religions an equal footing. So you'll find that when the government functions, Muslims will be invited, Christians will be invited, Hindus, people from different religions will be given space, you know, to pray or to, you know, so South Africa embraces all religions equally. So it's practiced differently in different states, but essentially it seeks to separate principles of religion into being the basis upon which policies and laws are drafted that govern the country.
Now, how does secularism affect the way people practice their faith? I imagine, you know, in a country like South Africa, which is a secular country, it may or may not. Please tell us, how does it happen? How do people actually practice? Rather, how does it affect the way people practice their faith?
Yeah, if we look at it from a positive perspective, it allows people to practice their faith freely. So it allows freedom of religion, but it also allows freedom from religion, which means no one can impose their religion on another. There are Islamic states where, it's almost like it's compulsory to follow a particular religion. So secularism, the positive part of it is that it embraces religious tolerance. So people or individuals are free to exercise their beliefs without any fear of persecution or prosecution. But if we look at it sometimes, those are the positives, and they are very fundamental, because the liberty of conscience, freedom to choose your own religion, are very fundamental within Christianity. Yes. So now the negative of it may come when, for example, you have issues of abortion. And let's say maybe why I'm a medical doctor, and then somebody comes to my practice and they want to perform an abortion, of which I personally, as a doctor, wouldn't agree with, going through with. So you'll have those conflicts where I'm employed by the state, but I am where I have freedom of religion. But there's also a patient who wants to do what I personally do not want to do. There may be people who want to get married, they need a minister. They may be homosexuals, and I'm like, no, I don't see myself doing that. It can be seen as discrimination. So there could be those things that affect the way people practice their faith. But on the whole, it simply gives people freedom to practice their faith, and it may be challenging. So it needs people to be strong and to be grounded, to have an identity and a firm belief in what they believe in, because it means there are influences that may be injurious to what one believes in. Because now, they are, like in a South African state, there are multiple faiths. So you can, as much as you want to proselytize and evangelize to others, they may also proselytize and evangelize to you. So in South Africa, we are free to practice our faith. I lived in South Korea, which is a secular state. We were free to practice our faith. But North Korea, there was no freedom. We were not even allowed to go into North Korea with Bibles and things like that to proselytize and evangelize. So, we need to have this debate of whether secularism is actually good or bad to practice our faith, where we are also allowed to evangelize to others, because 2/3 of the world's population is Muslim and Hindu, and Christians do not find that freedom to go into those countries and proselytize and evangelize. So that you think about it this way: secularism would allow Christianity to actually thrive and open new doors in many countries where we are currently not able to operate.
As you are talking about the freedoms that come with secularism, especially the freedom to believe what you want to believe it or not to believe at all, I'm reminded of one example that you're mentioning. Excuse me, that in some cases you may be a Christian and practicing in a particular field, and you find that now you've got a client, a couple who wants to get married, and they are in the same sex, and you're in trouble. I remember I read a story, I think about some 2-3 years ago, where this lady who was a baker, if I remember well, yeah, she was, who refused to bake a cake for this same-sex marriage. A couple, they wanted a cake for their wedding, and she couldn't because of her faith, and they took her to court. So you may face issues of that sort in a secular state. I definitely do agree with you there.
Yes.
Now, the next what I want to ask, I've seen, especially in South Africa, which is a secular state, and in other secular countries like Europe, etc., where religion is really struggling to grow, where religion, in fact, instead of growing, declines. Can secularism lead to a decline in religious belief and practice?
Yes, yeah, secularism is a political philosophy, but secularization, now putting secularism into practice, secularization is the historical process whereby there is a decline in religious beliefs and practice, and that seems to be the trend I can say in answering this question, it's a yes and no.
The safe question.
Because there are countries where secularism is antagonistic to religious, to launching or organizing religious formations. There are countries where the state would be indifferent. There are countries like South Africa where the state would embrace multiple religions. So when we say a decline, you may find that what we are actually saying is we're talking about the in the South African context. It could be a decline of Christian beliefs and practice, because what has happened in our schools, for example, we have taken out, you know, the freedom. We used to go to school and assemble, sing Christian songs and pray. We have reduced that because of our educational policies. But now what has happened in the same space is that we have seen an increase and a rise in the spirit of sangomaism, if I can put it that way. So that space has opened up. I don't know whether you should say those are just traditional practices or beliefs, or which could even be equated to, you know, religious beliefs. Because when I go to schools, the complaint these days is that, you know, there are so many children who practice, traditional sangoma practices, and some actually come to school to recruit. You know, so that space has opened up. So yes, there is a decline. Secularism can lead to a decline in religious beliefs and practices, but if you look at it deeply in an African context, you find that it has actually created space for traditional beliefs to also thrive. Maybe in Europe, it has been more of materialism, which means, yes, there's a real decline in religious beliefs and practice, and there was no space from other religions, you know, that filled up the vacuum that was created. So it's different in different countries.
Yeah. Now, would you say that secular ideologies or belief systems that are functioning in, do they function in a similar way as religion? I'm talking about secular ideologies.
Some are just philosophical secular ideologies. Darwinism, you know, it has had a huge impact in the academic fields, and yes, it has shaped the way people think. So it has had an effect there, but I wouldn't say it functions like a religion in the sense that it doesn't, you know, gather people, you know, and evangelize them into believing in Darwinism. But yes, in the academic sector, through producing articles, textbooks, it has filtered into our education systems. Communism is a secular belief. There are many governments that follow communism and socialism. I don't think they operate as religions per se, but at the level of being a belief system or an ideology, yes, there are people who espouse the principles of communism, atheism, postmodernism, humanism. I think religion is much stronger than these because it filters into our social lives, our daily lives, our marriage life, much more than these philosophies. But at a certain level, they do have similarities in terms of shaping our outlook to life.
Yeah, now, and I think that it has actually, especially, you know, the Taoism and stuff like that you mentioned. But I'm glad that at least we find a positive that you can actually, you know, still continue practicing Christianity in a secular world without any, hindrances. Now, what would you say are ethical implications of secularism, if at all?
Yes, ethical implications in what we could call a predominantly Christian country. Yes, it would be challenges with policies like legalized abortion, in some instances, legalized prostitution, euthanasia, which means life can be terminated prematurely at the request of the patient. You have issues where in South Africa, which embraces all religions, even a Satanist is given space because that's their belief, and we have freedom of religion. So those are some of the religious ethical implications. But also the positive is that there's freedom to practice religion and convert from one religion to another.
Now, we're going to be closing up our conversation, Pastor, this afternoon with the last question. How does secularism engage with religious perspective in public discourse?
Yeah, this is a really academic question, but maybe in answering it, I want to simplify and say in most democracies, you will find that secularism has won the day because secularism simply creates a space where people exercise their religious perspectives. So in most democratic countries, USA, Canada, go to Europe, we talk about the UK, France, secularism has won the day, and it has created space for multiple religions, freedom of religion and freedom from religion. Maybe in some Asian countries, it's still a struggle. In some Muslim countries, some Hindu countries, it still has not won. There are countries like India, where philosophers would say they have what is called a pseudo-secularism. So they pretend as though they allow all religions to operate equally, but people believe that most policies are biased towards a certain religious perspective. So I would say in the Western or democratic world, secularism has won the day because religious affairs have been separated from the state. And from an Adventist perspective, as soon as you combine state power and religious power, we begin to have problems because it means the majority religion will now oppress other religions. It may be surprising to many people, but if secularism means separation of church and state, it means Adventism can thrive in that space. And that's not a bad thing at all. It has won the day.
Yeah. Man, Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time. Do appreciate you coming through and talking to us this afternoon. Please do continue having a pleasant day further.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of the day.
Lovely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.